Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, as Richard said, my name's Alan. I'm part of the team here. If we haven't had a chance to meet, I'd love to do so afterwards. Don't rush off. It'd be good to chat and say hello. Some of you might remember a number of weeks ago, pre-Easter, it was a Sunday morning where we just had a really significant encounter with Jesus in worship. And I know we meet him every week and he's powerfully present with us every week, but it's one of those moments where you could have just stayed there all day. And I think it was actually maybe in our first service. But as we were worshiping, we just felt like God was speaking about there being life in this place. That there was life here, that he wanted to call back into life some things that felt like they maybe gone quiet or maybe even were dead. And that he was restoring us and calling us to more. I don't know if some of you were maybe there. I can see from your faces it deeply impacted your lives. But it was a moment. And as we lingered in that moment of worship, actually someone in the congregation felt like God spoke to them and felt like he highlighted a passage. And she came and she brought it to me afterwards. And rather than rush it, and you'll see why in a moment when I read it, we've taken some time just to pray through that, to consider that, to ponder it. We actually feel like there's some things in this passage that the Lord might want to speak to us as a congregation in this moment. And so over this next few weeks, we're going to be doing a little mini-series called Bearing Fruit in All Seasons. And really, it's springing off that word that she had and that passage that we felt God highlighted in that moment. And so if you have a Bible and you want to turn there, we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 47. When was the last time you were in Ezekiel? I know, right? Now you look less excited. It's going to be good. So if you want to turn there, you can. Just to kind of frame us a little bit, if you're not used to reading the Old Testament, or maybe not used to reading the Bible at all, we can't read the Bible with a 21st century Western lens and hope to understand it fully. It's not a history textbook. And it's not, 10 steps to a better you self-help manual. And it's not a work of fiction. This was written by a people in a time, in a culture, with a worldview, in their style, in the same way that if we wrote something now, we'd write it in our style. And so what we're turning to and what we're reading is ancient Near Eastern meditation literature. It's everybody's favorite genre, right? And what that means is that it's designed and written to be wrestled with. To be read back and forth, to be read in light of previous passages and later passages. It's not meant to be understood straight away. And so if you've come to the Bible and you feel like you're failing, because you look at passages like the one we read today and you're just like, I don't get it. You're not failing. They're designed to lead us into a dynamic wrestle and conversation with the Lord about them. And what we're about to read today is metaphorical, which again, our Western mindsets struggle with a little bit, or at least our logical ones do, like my brain. And it's mystical, and it's deep, and it's rich. So Ezekiel is a prophet. At this point in time, Israel has been, they're in their 25th year of exile. They've been taken out of their land, captured by Babylon. The land has been laid to waste. Jerusalem has been destroyed. And Ezekiel is a prophet, a leader amongst the people who, in his time, in his space, would hear from the Lord and bring a message to the people of what the Lord would say. And in this series of chapters that we're in, Ezekiel's in a moment where God has shown up. And God, in this vision, brings him to a high mountain in Israel. And he places him on this mountain and begins to show him things that are happening. And a heavenly man appears and takes him in this vision around various places and locations throughout Israel. I mean, we've all had one of those, right? No. A little weird in our context. But again, in an ancient Near Eastern context, perfectly acceptable, perfectly normal, perfectly understood. People would have heard Ezekiel say, I had a vision and the Lord took me to a mountain in Jerusalem. And they would say, well, what did he say? What's the message? And that's what we're going to be reading today. So we're going to pick it up, Ezekiel 47, beginning in verse 1. The man brought me back, this is Ezekiel in the vision, he brought him back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. And the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And then he brought me out through the north gate and led me round to the outside, to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. So here this man's brought him in this vision to the temple, showing him this temple that's been destroyed and it's there, and he sees this image, this vision of water flowing out from the temple and beginning to cascade down from there and out into the lands around. And in the next few verses, it goes in this little dance where the man takes him a little bit and it's up to his ankles, and then further and it's his knees and his waist. And it becomes this mighty river that no one could cross, flowing down through the land. We pick it up again in verse 6. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down to Araba, where it enters the Dead Sea. Then it empties in, when it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En-Gedi to En-Eglim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They'll be left for salt." In verse 12, "Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing." Maybe now, having heard it, you can see why we didn't rush to just simply read it out and move on. There's lots going on here, and there's lots to wrestle with. And as this word was shared on that morning, the person felt, like one of the things they felt was this idea of this water flowing out, that the life that we receive as we gather in this place is meant to flow out, is meant to leak out into the streets and the communities and the lives around us. And I really resonated with me. I love how in this image, Ezekiel sees this river flowing, that wherever it goes, it turns salty water to fresh. It brings life. It's transforming everything it comes in contact with. Wherever it flows, new and different life begins to be birthed. Abundant life becomes possible wherever it flows. And I love what we are doing right now. Not listening to me talk. I mean, gathering to do church together. I love what we do on a Sunday and a Friday and in our life groups. It's precious and it's important as we worship together, as we look to the scriptures, as we minister to one another, as we converse and build relationships and do community and drink amazing coffee. Great job this morning, our coffee team. I had a wonderful cup. Thank you, whoever's serving this morning. Love all that, and it's deeply, deeply important. But it's not the whole deal. It's not the sum total of what we're called to do. What we do as we gather is meant to shape us in ways that impact the world around us. It's meant to leak out into these streets. It's meant to leak out into the lives around us. In fact, I would go as far as to say the fruit we bear and the impact we have for the kingdom is much more likely to happen outside this building than inside it. What we do here refills, refreshes, recharges, heals, restores, and equips us to go. Whatever God does in us as we gather, he wants to do through us as we go about our everydays this week. Just think for a moment of all the people in this room. How many lives will we cross paths with this week? In the next 7 days, as we are at home and in work and in school and in coffee shops and stuck in traffic jams and in buses and wherever you find yourself, what kind of fruit might those encounters bear? because of what God does as we're gathered now. Think about that. What if what happens here leaked out? How might our city be different? What salty waters might become fresh this week because you flew into them? And what you carry is deeply powerful. And for those of you joining us online and around the world, the same counts. What might happen in your cities and in your towns? And those of you who've gone out from us, who are still very much part of our family, know we are praying for you, praying that God's presence would rest deeply with you as you join us today, wherever you are. I'm praying that whatever it looks like in your context, that you would see life and healing flow from your communities into the nations that he's called you to. This thing of life with Jesus is meant to leak out. And in this passage, what we want to focus on over the coming weeks is this thing of miraculous trees. Did you see it there in the passage? These trees that bear fruit all year round, in every season, every month. I am no gardener. If you've driven past my house, I am winning the competition of worst kept lawn in our estate, and I'm very proud of that. But I'm no gardener, but I'm pretty sure that doesn't happen. Trees don't bear fruit all year round. That's not what they're meant to do. That's not a thing. Heads up, spoiler alert, it's a metaphor. You're the trees. We're the trees. Something of life with Jesus makes it possible that we could bear fruit in his kingdom all year round. In every season. In every circumstance, in everything that we're facing, somehow, some way with him, it seems to be possible to bear fruit all year round. And it's not just in this passage. We see it in Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Jeremiah 17, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. One last one, and there's lots of images all through the scriptures, but Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and to the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every season. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This image is important. This image of a tree that's constantly bearing fruit flows through Scripture. It's a resonating pattern. God's trying to say something. It's really important. There's something about life with God, life rooted and established in him, that sits contrary to the natural order. It's different from the conventional wisdom of the world and what it might tell us. We know nature says trees don't bear fruit all year round. And yet something of life with God says, I can do the impossible. And when we translate that into our lives, that means those circumstances, those situations, the things that we face where we think it's not possible to bear fruit in this season, that we're just about hanging on and that's all we can do. Something of life with God says it is possible. It is possible. Either the Bible's lying, which I don't think it is, or there is a way to live in relationship with God that we can bear fruit in the world around us regardless of the season that we're in. And that season counts for the different stages of our lives, with young kids or with aging parents or with empty nest syndrome, or maybe we're aging ourselves. It counts for the seasons across a year where we're like, I'm just waiting for summer. Hold out. Maybe it'll come for 2 days this week. Or I believe for more. Or maybe it's about seasons of health and health challenges and work challenges. Maybe for you, you're new in a season of life with Jesus and you're still trying to work out what it means to follow him. Or maybe you've been doing it for decades and nothing feels new anymore. Whatever we're facing, good, bad, and different, somehow with Jesus, it's possible to still see the kind of life he offers produced in us and through us. And you might sit there and say, Alan, that's all well and good. You're on one this morning or this afternoon, but you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what my life is like right now. Like, I'm barely holding on here. I'm just about getting through the day. Feel like I'm slowly drowning, slowly slipping away, losing myself. And now you want me to do more? Like, you want me to be constantly doing, constantly producing all the time, every season, or else I'm failing, or else I'm missing the mark? It's not what I'm saying. See, there's a constant drive in our culture towards relentless productivity. Have you noticed it? 24-hour this, instant that, 7-day-a-week output, more, 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 more. Constantly producing. You are what you produce. And it really easily drifts into how we think about faith and what we think it means to do life with Jesus. And a room this size and in this nation, I would imagine many of us grew up in churches with either a subtle or not very subtle narrative that says God wants you to be constantly doing more for him. Go, go, go. Serve, serve, serve. Do more. Rest is for the weak. We'll rest in heaven. And it just gets under our skin. We think that's the life that God is calling us to. Kill ourselves on his behalf. And we look at that and we go, count me out. Like, I can't do it. I guess I'm just not the kind of tree God would want. Maybe this faith isn't the right thing for me. But what if bearing fruit was less about what we do and more about who we are or who we are becoming in life? What if it really was possible to impact the lives around us despite the season that we're struggling through or because of the season we're struggling through? What if God isn't trying to get us to do more and try harder and be better, but is inviting us to recognize the impact of what we already carry, to recognize that he's already at work in and through us, calling us to simply show up confident of his presence at work in us and leaking out through us to the world around us in every season. In every circumstance. Many of you will know Laurie. She's one of our pastors here. I think she's the best looking of our pastors. I can say that because she's also my wife. And Laurie heads up our street teams, which go out on a Friday morning to connect with a number of people who are currently experiencing homelessness in our city. And it's not a provision thing. We do that in other places. It's a relational thing, a connection and a friendship thing. And a number of years ago, we were in a very difficult moment as a family. Laurie's dad, my father-in-law, passed away. And Laurie was off for a few weeks, just grieving and mourning. And her first Friday back, she was quite nervous about returning to work. It'd been obviously still in a lot of grief and pain. And she led her team out onto the streets. And they came across a young man that they were friendly with, that they'd known, they chatted with many times, currently homeless, sitting on the streets in an alleyway. Many of us would look at that person and go, what kind of fruit could you bear? In this season, you're about as low as you could possibly get. And he said, where have you been? I've missed you. I haven't seen you in a few weeks. Laurie sat down beside him and just chatted with him and just honestly said, look, this is what's been going on. This is where I've been. And in that moment, the relationship wasn't pastor and broken homeless person. His eyes welled up with compassion and grace. He reached out and wrapped his arms around her and embraced her in a hug and said, I'm so sorry. Can I pray for you? And she felt ministered to and loved and cared for. Circumstances would say, what fruit can you bear? the kingdom would say, lots, lots. The fruit we bear is not determined by the circumstances that we're facing. There's an amazing lady who's part of our church family, and she's in a season, a long season, of wrestling with health that means she finds it difficult to be able to even get out of the house at times and to come to church. Certainly a season where things like rotas and serving and working hard aren't just possible to her. And for me, if that was my season, I'd be frustrated and grumpy. But when she's able to make it out, when she has the kind of day that that's possible and she walks into the room, I have to tell you, what walks in is not grumpiness and frustration, it's joy. It's peace. It's possibility. It's the kingdom of heaven. And when she prays for you, heaven listens. And we might think, if I was in that season, what fruit could I bear? And the truth is, with Jesus, an awful lot. I've journeyed over years with many friends struggling with anxiety and depression and challenges of mental health, where coming to church is about the biggest challenge they could possibly face. And getting out and getting into a room is enough. And they feel like, I can't really engage in worship. I can't chat. I can't minister to other folks. What kind of fruit can I bear? And what they don't realize is every time they walk in, what I see is courage and resilience and faith. And their simple act of showing up releases in me the possibility that there's more. You have no idea what you carry. The impact of what showing up, even in the hardest of seasons, brings. You'll never know what's unlocked in a room because you chose courage to be there. Your circumstances and the situations of your life do not define your ability to bear fruit. Your worth in Jesus is not based upon what you're able to do right now. Let that sink for a moment. You are not what you produce. So what is this fruit that we're talking about? We've probably grown up, many of us, with a do more mentality. Like, we're led to believe that fruit in the kingdom looks like salvation, looks like people being saved, becoming Christians or followers of Jesus, whatever language you want to put around that. And so our job is to serve hard. Like, let's make it happen. Fill up rotas. Get out there, have deep pastoral conversations, evangelize our neighborhoods and our workplaces. Let's make it happen. Let's do the stuff. Maybe in churches like ours, we equate fruit to be like with power encounters, where we see the Holy Spirit move dramatically and we see bodies healed and demons cast out and prophetic words and prophetic insights shared, tangible moments of encounter and worship. That's what we equate to be the fruit that Jesus expects. And it might sound like I'm putting all that down, and please hear me, I'm really, really not, because that stuff is great. We absolutely need more of it. I'm desperate for more of all of that. I've staked my life upon it. God's called us to this community to see those kinds of things happen. And there should be seasons for each of us where we see those things playing out in our lives. But if that's all that counts, if those kind of moments are the goal, we'll feel this constant pressure towards striving, towards ignoring the season that we're in and overriding it to try and produce fruit. What if the kind of fruit that God is talking about is first internal before it's external? Is first heart and character and posture and presence before it's action and serving and rota? Paul writes in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Their inward heart postures, their character things, we don't work hard at producing those things. We invite the Holy Spirit to make them happen in us, and they leak out into our actions and into the world around us. Philippians 4, Paul writing again, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which makes no sense. The peace of God, which refuses to follow logic. The peace of God that refuses to show up only in the circumstances and the seasons that should be peaceful, will show up. What if that's the kind of fruit that we're called to bear? That kind of fruit is possible in every season of our lives. Just pause for a moment. What would it feel like to receive that peace that makes no sense? Not to have all your problems fixed. It doesn't promise that. Not to clear your to-do list and your stress and your worry, but to say in the midst of all those things, it is possible for your soul to be at rest, to be at peace. What would that feel like? What would that do to the rooms we walk into? What if joy is possible in every season? What if patience with that difficult colleague, you know the one, right? The difficult colleague. What if patience with them on a Friday afternoon as you're just trying to get out to get into your weekend and they're just being difficult? What if that patience in that moment is kingdom fruit every bit as much as being on the prayer ministry team on a Sunday morning in just a moment? What if kindness to a stranger counted as much as being on a kids' ministry rota? It's kingdom fruit. Don't hear me say that prayer ministry and kids' ministry are not important. They are of a high value. But if all we do is within these walls on for 2 hours and a Sunday or whatever amount of time we serve, if that's all it is, then it's not, to be honest, it's not worth it. It's not what Jesus gave his life for. It's called to cascade out into every area of our lives. And of course we want full rotas and great ministries and programs so that people can be discipled. There's nothing wrong with that. And there should be seasons in our lives where we all roll up our sleeves and serve hard and get stuck in, and that's good and that's right and that's true. But that won't necessarily be every season of your life. And in fact, it shouldn't be every season of your life. And serving and giving should be an overflow. And we have to learn to work within the seasons that God brings along within our lives. And I have to say, I really struggle with this. I am wired in such a way, or I have wired myself in such a way, that it's see a problem, act. And while I'm acting, find another problem to see. And then act on that one. I've never had an idea that I didn't want to implement yesterday. I've been blessed with a reasonably high capacity, and I think along my life I've imbued this notion that do, work, more, go, is the kingdom. And as I prepared this, as I've wrestled with this passage, I felt like that in me or in other people, in churches that you've been part of, in this church, if that's been a struggle for you, I want to say I'm really sorry. If that's made you feel guilty or made you feel like you're failing, I'm really sorry. That's not the call of the kingdom on our lives. It's not to go, do, push, more. That's not what fruit in every season looks like. You need to know if this place is home, if this is where the Lord has established you. You're not a resource to be used and milked dry. And if you felt like that in here or other churches, I'm really sorry. It's not God's heart. Neither are you a customer or a consumer here to simply take. Somehow, some way in Jesus, we belong to one another. We're shaped and formed together as family to both give and receive, to pour out and to drink in, to call one another, to strengthen one another, to bless one another to more of his kingdom leaking out in and through us to the world around us. If you're in a season where you can't serve on a rota, where action is hard, where it's actually not healthy and you shouldn't be doing it, that isn't feeling. You are not feeling. Because fruit has more to do with your heart posture and the presence you carry than your ability to serve. Our ability to bear fruit isn't defined by the limitations of our circumstances or the season we're in, but by the posture of our hearts and who we're becoming. Who you are in a room is every bit as important as what you do when you're in that room, what you carry in the presence of God with you. And we all know people that just seem to exude peace, right? Like they're never hurried, they're never rushed. It seems like they're never stressed. I was in Tesco's this week and I'd left exactly the amount of time that I needed to do a shop before I needed to do a school pickup. And I came around the first aisle and bumped into one of the people that exudes this that I know. They just exude peace, never rushed. I was like, you want to talk to me. And I want to shop and pick up my kids on time. But you want to talk. It was this wonderful encounter where I realized my kids will not starve. My trolley will fill itself. Somehow I'll get there on time. And if I'm not there and I'm a bit late, they're not going to be raptured or something. It'll be fine. And in that encounter, some of the peace that he carried just leaked into me. Somehow that presence of God in him stilled my heart and brought a little peace. What if we were people like that? What if the fruit that we're called to bear, it's less about doing and more about becoming? And we won't always be able to see the fruit that we're producing. We won't always be aware of it. We'll have seasons where it feels like nothing's happening, that we're missing the mark. And yet actually God's doing incredible things in our midst. We have a charity, compassion charity called Storehouse that we've been running for a number of years. This week, a chap came in that I haven't seen in about 6 years. When he first came to us 7 or 8 years ago, he was in a season that his life was really messy and really chaotic, and he'd been referred to us. We were able to help and bring a little bit of stability into his life, and he actually journeyed into our community and became a leader within Storehouse, helping, you know, do a bunch of stuff, and some of what we were able to do set him up to really flourish. He was able to leave us and go into a stable job, something he'd never had. And in some ways, that season was really helpful. In others, it was really hard. We really struggled to connect in a relational way that brought faith into the equation. He wasn't open to conversations about life with Jesus. He wasn't open to coming to church or anything like that. And actually, as his time with us came to an end, it was relationally a bit tense. And what transpired is we kind of represented the stage of his life that was really broken and messy, and he wanted to leave that in the past, and that meant kind of cutting ties with us. And nobody had done anything wrong, but it felt like we had, and over the years, as we thought about him, it kind of felt like we failed a little bit, like we'd missed a moment that we'd failed to bear fruit. And oftentimes, our staff would think back on that season and go, man, we missed it. He came in this week with an excuse. What he really came in to do was to tell us the last year he came to faith in Jesus, that he had been baptized, was now part of a church in West Belfast, was holding down a stable job, fathering his twin boys really well and absolutely flourishing. So much had he changed in his countenance, I didn't recognize him when he came in. I've never seen anybody transformed so physically by the power and the presence of Jesus. We thought we'd failed. We thought we'd borne no fruit. Just took years for us to see the reality of what God was doing in our midst. The fruit you bear is not defined by the season or the circumstance you're in. It is possible. It is possible in every season of life. And finally, different seasons require different rhythms, but the same source. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at how we respond to the different seasons of life and what it might look like to shape our lives and our rhythms, to be able to bear fruit in the midst of whatever we're experiencing personally and communally and even nationally. So tune in for that. It's going to be great. For some of us, learning that different seasons require different responses, different postures or different rhythms in our life is going to be really life-giving. You should not be able to hold the same rhythms in every season. I heard the opposite growing up. If I stop my rhythms or I stop what I'm doing or I miss them, I'm failing. In the summer, we light a fire in our back garden and we put raw meat on it and we call it a barbecue and it's good because we're men and we like fire, right? In the 2 days of summer, we do that. In winter, because we're obsessed with fire, we do that inside our house. And we light logs and we sit by it and we stay warm. Winter fires. If you light your inside fire in summer, it's not pleasant, it's sweltering. If you try to barbecue in winter, you freeze. It's the right rhythm for the right season. Good in their place, wrong in the wrong place. It's the same spiritually. Overriding your body and muscling it in a tough season will not bear healthy fruit. That is not what God is asking you to do. Equally, pulling back in a season where he's saying go for fear of burnout or to protect ourselves will not protect us. It will only cause us to miss the invitations of the kingdom that he's inviting us into. We need wisdom and insight to know how to respond in each and every season. And as I close, I want us to see that each season needs different postures, different rhythms, but the same source. Look at verse 12. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit. Why? Because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Could not be more clear. Could not be more clear. How are they able to bear fruit every month and every season? Because the water from the sanctuary flows to them and carries life. It's not any water. It's not any out puddle or shach, as we like to say up further north. It's the river of life from the sanctuary. It's the source that defines the fruit. And these rivers are a motif that run through scripture. We see them in Eden, rivers running out from the garden where God's presence resides on earth to bring life to the world. And it's still chaotic and unsubdued. Sin enters in. God's presence resides in the temple. And here we have Ezekiel with this vision of the water, these rivers flowing out from God's presence to bring life. In Revelation, they're still there with this river of living water flowing through the center of the city itself. There's something about proximity, intimacy, establishment in God's presence that is the key to bringing fruit in every season. It's not contingent upon how we act, but contingent upon where we draw our life and our hope from. Not all water is equal. Not all rest will bring rest to your soul. Do 5 box sets in a row and you'll know that that doesn't bring you rest. Not all things of hope bring hope. Not all worldviews are equal. If we want to bear fruit, kingdom fruit, in every season of life, we need to draw from the source that is the presence of God himself. Are we hungry for his presence? Are we finding the right rhythms for the season that we're in to hold us in his presence? Are we just trying to muscle it and work hard and serve hard? Are we just trying to earn his approval and earn our way to fruit? Or have we given up on fruit altogether and we're just kind of getting by? Are we close to the source of living water that flows all through scriptures and flows through our lives? So we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, how do we do that in each and every season? What does that look like? How do we know what seasons we're in? And how do we be the kind of family that bear fruit in every season? It's going to be good. Don't miss it. In just a moment, I'm going to invite the prayer ministry team to come up. And for a number of us, just have that sense that we feel like we've failed. Maybe some lies that have been spoken over us, maybe some lies that the enemy's thrown at us, maybe some unhelpful and careless words that others have spoken to us, but they've made us feel like we're failing because we're not able to do. And I felt like there's an opportunity for healing and for freedom this morning, if that's you. For some of us, it feels like some of the places that we used to find life and used to see fruit and used to really feel connected to Jesus and in partnership with him, it feels like they're gone and will never come back. And we prayed about this morning with their intercession team, like our God is a God of resurrection power. And nothing's impossible with him. And so if you're kind of ruling things out to your past, he might want to rule them back in. Or he might want to rule some new things in that bring equal life. If you struggle with that idea of rest, if you struggle with that idea that you can bear fruit by who you are and what you carry, not by what you do, then we want to pray for you. Make sense? So, why don't you stand? Just wait on him for just a moment. Holy Spirit, would you come? Love you. We need you. Come rest on us afresh. Holy Spirit, where our hearts and our minds and our lives feel like chaos, we cry out for your peace. Peace that makes no sense. Would you pour it out? Pour it out upon us. God, where we bought the lie that we are not good trees, that fruit is not something we bear, where we bought the lie that we're somehow failing because of the circumstances we're currently in, we cry out, would you break that lie? Would you break that lie? Would you speak truth to our hearts, truth to our minds, truth to our souls? God, where you're calling us to rest, would you teach us how? Where you're calling us to go, would you give us courage? Would you breathe life? Would you cause it to bubble up from within us? Would you use us as a congregation, as a community, to bring life everywhere we go? To bear fruit that lasts. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.